and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. More legal wrangling over President Trump's use of an emergency powers law to impose tariffs. One court ruled them illegal. Another has just allowed them to go ahead for now. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
That intermediate appellate court before the Supreme Court is going to take a look at these orders and decide whether President Trump indeed had the authority, the power to issue these tariffs.
A judge today extended a ban on the administration's efforts to bar foreign students at Harvard. It came on graduation day, as Nikki Batiste reports.
Big day at Harvard, graduation wrapping up, other smaller school graduations going on, feeling of excitement, but also just general fear.
The special envoy to Syria, Tom Barak, raised the flag at the U.S. ambassador's house in Damascus today.
The president's vision is we have to give this young government a chance by not interfering, by not demanding, by not giving conditions.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Road construction will start as soon as June 2nd on another section of Wisconsin Highway 29 in Marathon County. Governor Evers signed a $10.1 million contract to improve the deteriorating road. The work has been progressing in recent seasons, with sections being worked on at intervals. This year, American Asphalt of Wisconsin crews will be working between Purple Martin Lane and Little Rib River. The 12-mile section begins before Marathon City and extends into Wausau. During construction, Highway 29 will be open to one lane of traffic in each direction at all times. The project is scheduled to be completed by the fall of this year. Home sales in Wisconsin are down again. Here's Joanne Krulatz.
The Wisconsin Realtors Association released its April report revealing home sales experienced a significant downturn for the second consecutive month, falling 10.4% compared to April 2024, even as the median price climbed during the same period. Despite this monthly decline, year-to-date sales were down by a more moderate 3.5% compared to the first 4 months of 2024, buoyed by strong sales in January and February. Statewide, housing inventory saw a slight improvement, increasing 5.9% to a 3.6-month supply in April, yet this figure remains considerably below the 6-month supply indicative of a balanced market, which would necessitate a 67% increase in current listings.
You can come support the Stevens Point Police Department K-9 program this weekend at the second annual Car Cruise with the Cops Car Show. It's this Saturday on the corner of Main Street and Michigan Avenue in the P.J. Jacobs parking lot. The car show starts at 10 and the cruise begins at 3. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers are on a roll. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game series on the road tomorrow night against the Phillies, the team with the best record in the National League. But Milwaukee's on a roll. They swept the Red Sox with a dramatic 6-5 win yesterday, thanks to Caleb Durbin driving in the winning run in the bottom of the 10th.
We're scrapping and we're battling, and you've seen it this whole series, but especially the last two games going into extra innings. Like, you could feel that we never thought we were going to lose.
Golf, the U.S. Women's Open underway in Wisconsin at Erin Hills. NFL, the Packers announced training camp begins July 23rd with family night Saturday, August 2nd. Quarterback Jordan Love asked, how much did that MCL sprain in his left knee affect him last season?
I mean, there might be some things here and there that might have been affected by the injury, but I'm never going to, you know, put anything on an injury. You know, I'm going out there, and if I'm healthy enough to go, you know, I'm trying to give my best and be the best player I can be out there, and I'm always hold myself to a high standard.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated shower or two this evening, then becoming partly cloudy tonight. Lows in the low 50s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and much warmer for tomorrow. High around 80. And mid to upper 70s with sunshine for this weekend. Currently, it's 66.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser. We have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week on the Rational Revolution, we've got Devin Remiker. He's running for chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker. Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think that speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. It is Friday Eve here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a fine guest coming up next, but I got to tease what's going to be happening at the bottom of this hour. Everybody knows Rojo was at the Milwaukee Press Club yesterday. Said some wackadoo things because that's what Rojo does. But he went from that event to the Medical College of Wisconsin, and the wackadoo got even more wackadoo. And we've got some of the sound. They've been trying to bury it and scrub it from the interwebs all day long, but we've got the sound. And we're going to give you that exclusive. I think we're the only media outlet that's going to be giving you that sound across the state. So do not go anywhere. Rojo Crazy is coming up next. But my next guest is anything but crazy. She is an award-winning professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. A commentator on all of the national news programs you could ever think of. And she's been a frequent guest of this program. I'd like to call her a friend, even though we've only seen each other in two dimensions. She knows a ton about the Russia and Ukraine situation. She's going to help us all get a little bit smarter this afternoon. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Dr. Herrera. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
So let's just start with the basics. Where do things stand? There was a lot of seeming movement for the first bit of the Trump administration. One-sided, to be sure. We'll get into that a little bit more. But it has seemed quite quiet over the last couple of weeks, though we've got some recent sound from the president. I just wanted to take this sound here. I believe this is yesterday. In the Oval, responding to what appears to be something of stalemate isn't the word. We'll discuss what it is that we're observing right now. But here was the president yesterday on the Russia-Ukraine conflict. It's not playing, Jacob. Let's just try this one more time because I do want this for setup. Still not getting it. We'll work on that. So we'll return to what the president said yesterday, but let's just talk about the status of things as they stand on the ground. What is the current status in the Ukraine conflict right now?
In short, the war continues. So people continue to being killed on the front lines. And a couple of, new developments. Russia launched one of the largest strikes across the country, over 600 missiles and drones over the weekend. There was a big prisoner exchange, and there's continuing, since the Trump presidency started, discussion of potential for peace talks.
It is Let me ask you this question instead of making a statement. Do you take it as a coincidence that Russian missile strikes seem to be both ramping up in frequency and targets, since there seem to have been a significant retrenchment, a significant stepping back from the support of Ukraine, especially in the last, I'd say, month?
Well, on the one hand, you could see it as strategic in the sense that Russia thinks this is their chance. They could be weaker in the future. The U.S. has weakened its support for Ukraine, so it seems like, okay, this is an opportunity. So on the one hand, it seems strategic. On the other hand, President Trump has blamed Ukraine and Zelensky so many times, and he's ready to just really cut off Ukraine, it looks like. And it's at those moments that Putin launches these completely inhumane attacks that get a lot of attention and make it hard to make the case that it's all Ukraine's fault. So from that perspective, it's just idiotic on the Russian side that Trump is just about ready to blame everything on Zelensky, and then they do something that literally cannot be blamed on Ukraine, even by the most kind of pro-Russia people. So in that sense, I agree in some ways with President Trump saying he must be crazy. I mean, what is he doing? Because if he's trying to curry favor with Trump, it's not working.
It seems to me that as we watch Donald Trump, in many ways, I think, kind of lose interest in it. You know, like Iran on ending the war in a day, and he seems to be, again, losing interest. He can't chalk up the quick win. And the rhetoric, not only calling it Zelensky's war, though he's defending his country's sovereign border from an invader.
Right.
He's been calling it Biden's war, which is sort of like equally mystifying. Is this just part of the Trump isolationist move? Can we tease these things out, or is there no identifiable motivation, which is kind of where I end up coming back to?
Okay. I think Vance is the most isolationist in the sense that he just says, I don't care. Like, whatever. Like, just do what you want. Who cares? Not our business. So for Vance, it's like, I don't care about a ceasefire. I don't care what happens. It just means nothing to me. People are dying, whatever. So in this way, he's just purely isolationist. Trump, for whatever reason, decided, even during the campaign, he's going to end the war. He wanted his Nobel Peace Prize, et cetera. So this is a little bit at odds with the isolationism, because he thinks, well, I'm the deal maker. I'm going to end this war. He could have at any moment said, you know, actually, I just don't care either. Like, I'm with Vance. Like, we both don't care. But he kept saying, no, I'm going to end this war, but was reluctant to acknowledge the basic fact that Putin is not interested in ending the war. And it's Russia that you have to put pressure on if you want to end the war. So without acknowledging that, all the efforts of talking kind of go nowhere, which then led to frustration. And Trump saying, like, well, anyways, like, it's up to them. But I will note that he has, like, in the last couple of weeks, he used to say it was all Biden's fault. He still says it never would have happened if I was president. Then he started blaming Ukraine entirely, saying Ukraine never should have started. I don't know if it's clinging to hope, but I do think it's a little bit significant that in the last couple of weeks, he has said that Russia is also to blame. So it's Biden's war, it's Zelensky's war, and it's Putin's war. And he has brought Russia in as like a kind of acknowledgement that, oh, yeah, maybe Russia has to do something for the war to end.
Yeah, it seemed for a time that the president needed to be given a very simple one-page PowerPoint presentation that said a country cannot war itself. Like, you actually need another party to engage in the war. We've got that sound now. Let's take a listen. This is Donald Trump yesterday.
Yeah, I'll give you an update. I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all, okay? We're in the middle of talking, and he's shooting rockets into Kiev and other cities. I don't like it at all.
What do you want to do about
that? I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. We'll see what we're going to do. What am I going to tell you? Well, you're the fake news, aren't you? You're totally fake.
Okay. It's like the perfect exemplar of what you were just saying, right? There's this, first of all, what the hell happened to Putin? Again, memo, Mr. President, same guy. I'm very surprised. Really? Again, did you not get the briefing on January 21st? I'm being super glib here, but it seems to me that his disillusionment has increased and he's finding the political footing difficult. And I think your distinction between Vice President Vance and President Trump is really important here. And I wonder if you have a thought about, is Vance influencing him at all? I mean, you look back at Vance's comments on this conflict back to 2022, and he literally said, I don't care what happens in Ukraine, in one of his speeches. It is I don't have the sound, but it is a verbatim quote because I've read a lot of his thoughts on this. Is what happens next? If President Trump is now disillusioned and disappointed and doesn't like that Putin is sending these missiles to kill thousands of Ukrainians in Kyiv, what does he do next, assuming anybody can prognosticate in the least bit about President Trump?
Yeah, well, one thing I think that's important is to think about, like, what is the structure of U.S. support? So for one thing, we share intelligence. Another is we provide weapons, we provide money, and we also provide agreements to allow Europeans who bought our weapons to let Ukrainians use those weapons. So those are all really important things, not to mention the sanctions. So the U.S. could shift by cutting off any of those things that we're doing for Ukraine. We could ally more strongly with Russia, ending the sanctions. That wouldn't end the European sanctions necessarily, but that it would be damaging if we did that. We could pull out of NATO. So there's like a lot of things we could do. In a certain way, the status quo of just not changing any of that is pretty good for Ukraine, except on the weapon supplies, where they're likely to run out at the middle to the end of the summer. So in some ways, if they do, if Trump just says, like, well, we're just not going to do anything, meaning we're going to keep doing the things we're doing, which are sort of low cost to the U.S., that's still sort of good for Ukraine. But I mean, it's really important for people to understand there's no American troops on the ground in Ukraine. Ukraine is not asking for American troops. It's very different, for example, than what Israel is asking the U.S. to do in Iran. I mean, this is a potential big war, and Ukraine is not asking for that, any U.S. troops on the ground. So in that sense, even if you're against, you know, starting another war here or there in the world, or you don't want U.S. troops somewhere, I think that's important to note that Ukraine isn't asking for that. And our military production and equipment and stuff that we're sending them or selling in some cases to them, a lot of it is given, is actually helpful to our economy because a lot of it's produced in the U.S. And it's also helpful for training and understanding uses of these weapons also in different contexts.
Yeah, these are not like self-explanatory, just figure it out sort of weaponry. A couple of really important things there. The toolkit, weapons and artillery support, direct aid, intelligence sharing, and increasing Russian sanctions. These things, you know, it's always curious when we're doing nothing, is it simply preservation of status quo ante, or is it actually like taking away the supports that we had? We're in, and I would say, somewhat of an improvement. And we heard early on in the Trump administration that they were going to stop intelligence sharing with Ukraine.
They did for a little while.
And they did for it wasn't a long period of time, but absolutely crucial. I want to talk about the weapons piece of this, because there has been this sort of flow in this conflict, well, where Ukraine will get very close to running out of things, and what the U.S.'s role has been, and can the EU step up that particular element of the toolkit in fighting Putin's increasingly aggressive, increasingly dangerous land grabs. We continue the discussion with Dr. Yoshiko Herrera, political scientist with the University of Wisconsin-Madison, award-winning professor and commentator here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a time to pause and remember your mental health is as important as your physical health. Jeff Olson's son struggled with stress and anxiety, and this father from the UP says he's speaking out to save lives.
He came to us, asked for help as a junior in high school, fought it for three more years, had a couple suicide attempts in between there. The anxiety and depression was too much for him, and he ended up taking his life. My wife and I felt the need to speak up and not hide this in hopes of educating people so they didn't have to go through what my son Daniel went through.
If you're struggling, you are not alone. Reaching out is a sign of strength, not weakness. The Suicide or Crisis Lifeline is available 24/7. You could call or text 988 anytime. Again, 988. Let's choose to connect and care for ourselves and others this month and every month. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Be a water-ready family this summer and keep your loved ones safe around water. Join the family at the SWC YMCA and learn from professionals how to become a better version of yourself while providing swimming lessons for young ones. The SWC YMCA is offering a summer special. Pay for the summer up front and they'll waive the new membership fee. Invest in yourself.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joining me this half hour is Professor Yoshiko Herrera of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a political scientist and expert on Russia and international relations. We've been talking about the toolkit to push back on Putin's continued aggression. And it includes money, weapons, intel, sanctions. And it is the weapons piece that has been periodically throughout the conflict quite a tipping point, potential cliff to fall off of for Ukraine. Can the European Union step up and provide those munitions? There's a long supply chain and manufacturing process. This isn't a light switch flip where the U.S. says, listen, we're not going to be sending as much direct weapons and ammunition or munition support to Ukraine. And EU just says, oh, yeah, we'll send those over. It's going to take some time. How precarious is the armament situation for Ukraine at this moment?
Well, I think it's not as bad as it could be. One thing that's been in the news, there's two things that have been in the news a lot. One is drones and the innovation in drones, both in the production of them in Ukraine, also the use of fiber optic cable drones. So these are drones that are kind of connected by fishing wire that can't be jammed. and Russia innovated on those, but Ukraine is trying to catch up in that area. And also the Iranian Shahed drones that Russia is adapting. So drones are a big part of the story. And the other part of the story is missile defense. The Patriot missile defense system is really important for stopping the ballistic missiles coming into Ukraine. That's the ballistic missiles plus drones are what Russia has shot over 600 of over the last weekend. So the U.S. is the manufacturer of Patriot missile systems and defense systems, and that that requires missiles to shoot down the ballistic missiles coming in. Now, Ukraine could run out of those, and that would be difficult for their defense. So I think those are some of the things people are looking at. But also, there's a lot of discussion in Europe now about what they can send and how quickly they can do it. And one thing I think that's interesting is the new German Chancellor Merz just said they're no longer going to say what they're sending to Ukraine. They're going to send things and they're not going to say what it is. And some people are speculating maybe that means they're going to send some things they weren't previously willing to send because of some disagreements internally. So that's another possibility. But there's no question that Europe is behind. Europe is behind on its own defense, not just in helping Ukraine. And they're desperately trying to catch up now.
And as a corollary to that, I believe I heard within the last couple of days that, I don't know if it's specific to Germany or the EU, that they also were lifting restrictions on prior direct military equipment and munitions that had been given, but they were saying, don't use this stuff yet, that had been, like, effectively, they had been going more gloves off. Can you correct my layperson's hacking, like, hackneyed recounting of that?
Well, the thing is that situation changes a lot, so it's actually hard to keep up with it. I mean, one way to understand the story is that since the beginning of this war, restrictions were put on Ukraine, and the reason was they feared an escalation, nuclear escalation, et cetera. And every quarter or so, those restrictions get lifted. And like by many other things, I mean, it's one of the criticisms, unfortunately, of the Biden administration, that if they had lifted some of the restrictions earlier in 2022, Ukraine would have been able to do things that they weren't able to do. So the short story of these restrictions is that there's always these restrictions put in place, then they get lifted, and then everybody complains, why didn't you lift them earlier? Mm-hmm. And people retort because you're afraid of escalation. So that's kind of an ongoing debate. But at this point, it's a little bit different in that Europeans are considering, like, what do they need for their own defense, especially if the U.S. isn't going to be the backstop if there's a further Russian invasion of Poland or Estonia or something like that.
Folks, that's Professor Yoshiko Herrera of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We found the sound of J.D. Vance saying, I don't care about Russia. Let's take a listen. It's short.
I think it's ridiculous that we're focused on this border in Ukraine. I got to be honest with you. I don't really care what happens to Ukraine one way or another.
There it is. So the broader question that I want to ask you, and former Senator Jeff Flake put out an opinion piece today in the Washington Post, and he basically calls out Republicans, and he's, are there no more Russia hawks? Like, now is the time to stand up. What are you all doing? We're hearing this wishy-washiness from our president. We know where J.D. Vance stands. Are there no more foreign policy hawks in the Republican Party, or is the only place on the planet that they care about is Gaza?
I just want to show you our Wisconsin State Journal today also reprinting a Wall Street Journal, the other WSJ editorial, saying GOP Senate should press for sanctions. So the Wall Street Journal story reprinted today in Wisconsin State Journal is saying Lindsey Graham, Tom Cotton and Blumenthal on the Democrat side have 82 senators lined up to support a bill for sanctions against countries that buy Russian oil and gas. Mm. And if they had President Trump's support, they think that they could get that bipartisan bill across. So, yeah, there are still some hawks. It's not even hawks. It's people who care about democracy and American values. I mean, there are still some among the Republicans, but so far they have been relatively quiet.
The lesson, as always, pick up the phone, call your senators, call your congresspeople, and tell them to use sanctions to help press Russia. That is the bottom line here, that the U.S. needs to support Ukraine. That is the pathway forward, not from Yoshiko and I, but from Republicans in the Senate, former Republicans. We can't wait to talk to you again, Yoshiko. Thank you so much for your time. It's always a pleasure. You take care. Folks, when we come back, an exclusive, the crazy Rojo sound from yesterday. Can you believe he might be dabbling in some conspiracy theories? I wore my special T-shirt. Watch us on YouTube or listen in here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Thank you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Video footage in the case of Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan has been released. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The video released by Milwaukee County through an open records request shows Dugan speaking to federal agents on April 18th in the hallway outside her courtroom as they waited to arrest an undocumented immigrant. It's evidence in a federal criminal case against Dugan indicted May 13th on counts of obstructing a federal agency and concealing an undocumented immigrant. Prosecutors accused the 66-year-old judge of allowing Eduardo Flores Ruiz to leave her courtroom through another exit. ICE agents chased him down and took him into custody outside the courthouse. Dugan was arrested a week later.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding anglers how they can help prevent the spread of aquatic invasive species and diseases during fishing season. A number of the state's waterways have seen the introduction of invasive species like zebra mussels and spiny water fleas over recent years. DNR officials are reminding anglers to drain all the water from their bait buckets or fish containers at the site where they filled them, drain and clean their boats, and remove things like mud or plants from their gear before leaving. The Wood County Agricultural and Household Hazardous Waste Disposal Clean Sweep is this Saturday in Marshfield. Wood County residents and producers can safely dispose of their unwanted household and agricultural hazardous waste free of charge. The collection event is from 8 a.m. to noon on May 31st at the Marshfield Ag Research Station on Yellowstone Drive. Everything must be labeled or easily identified. You can contact Wood County UW Extension with questions at 715-421-8440. The next event in Wood County will be in Wisconsin Rapids on September 13th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. History is being made at Max. The streamer just renewed the show Hacks for a fifth season. The show starring Jean Smart is a critic's darling, having won a total of 8 Emmy Awards. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the renewal for season 5 makes it the longest live-action running show in Max history, which is really impressive given that the streamer has only been around for 2 years as Max. Not sure how that adds up. Producers of the show announced the fifth season Tuesday night, just 2 days before the finale for season 4. To say actors need thick skin in the entertainment racket would be an understatement. Kathy Bates recently told Vanity Fair she really wanted the role of Frankie in the 1991 film Frankie and Johnny because she had originated the role on Broadway. Her dreams, however, were crushed when producer Gary Marshall told Bates that the idea of her kissing a man on screen was not what people wanted to see. Why are people the way they are? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated shower or two this evening, then becoming partly cloudy tonight. Lows in the low 50s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and much warmer for tomorrow. High around 80. And mid to upper 70s with sunshine for this weekend. Currently, it's 66.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
To everyone who believes big flavor makes life better, we've got something special waiting for you at Culver's.
we're introducing something totally new. Concrete mixers and lemon ice coolers made with fruity Skittles Popped. This limited time Skittles Popped mix-in can be blended into our creamy, fresh frozen custard or slow frozen lemonade for a colorful crunch that makes every moment a little sweeter. You don't want to miss this.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, TV producer Mary Picorni Donlan makes the popcorn pick of the week. Norm Kapeski from Appleton Cigar joins me in studio. Then author Laura Enright joins to talk vampires.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you're excited as I am. Wisconsin, we deserve better than Ron Johnson. We deserve better than a conspiracy theorist. We deserve better than a guy that doesn't understand what peer review means in academia, in science, in medicine. We deserve a man who won't lie his butt off to ensure that he can get reelected. He spoke yesterday at the Milwaukee Press Club, said some bonkers things. We're going to start there. But then we're going to go to the content that nobody else in the state has, because he went from the Milwaukee Press Club to the Medical College of Wisconsin, you know, and talked to scientists and doctors. And they had some questions for the senator. But let us start with the press club. There's so much cruelty in the big brutal bell, but not quite enough for our senator. Let's take a listen. This is Ron Johnson about taking a stand.
There's no amount of pressure that President Trump can apply to me that exceeds the pressure I feel, the promises I made to stop mortgaging our kids' future.
So you're
my loyalty is to the future of this country. My loyalty is our kids and grandkids whose future is being diminished because of what we've done to them already.
And his way that he's going to stand up for our kids' future is by killing their parents' dreams today. By making their parents and their kids sicker, poorer, less secure, more stressed, with less health care. I could go on and on. And then he dipped his toe to some vaccine conspiracy nonsense. Again, this is the Milwaukee Press Club. Our Senator Ron Johnson yesterday, cut 15.
You said my claims have been debunked. Where and when? There's not one thing I've said during this COVID that's been proven untrue. Now, there are people that maybe disagree with me, but today on VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which the FDA and CDC were touting the most up-to-date figures, there have been over 35,000 deaths reported on the VAERS system worldwide associated with the COVID-19 vaccine, over 1.5 million adverse events. Now, there are two main complaints about the VAERS system. One, it doesn't prove causation. That's true. But do you realize that of those 35,000 deaths, 25% either occur on the day of vaccination or within day one or two? So maybe it doesn't prove causation, but it certainly gives a guy like me concern. I was concerned about it back in March and April of 2021. So again, you're saying that what I've said about the safety of the vaccines has been debunked. It hasn't been debunked at all. Have you not noticed the Twitter files? Have you not noticed how federal health agencies are censoring truth and calling it misinformation?
What planet does this man live on? This is the guy that in the middle of COVID said on a radio station with thousands of people listening that, you know, just use a little freaking mouthwash for that pesky COVID. It's bananas. Yes, there are adverse event reports. They're adverse event reports for aspirin, for ibuprofen. for Viagra. It is utter drivel that comes out of this man's mouth with perfect confidence. I always like the, like, don't let the facts get in the way of my confidence with which I speak this nonsense. It's like Ron Johnson's cri de guerre, his modus operandi, is just say it with confidence and then scoff at those who try to ask you questions. Well, then he went to the medical college. Little different crowd. Now, this cut is a little longer, but keep your hats on, because it's quite the thing. This is a doctor asking Ron Johnson about this very set of nonsense that we heard from the press club. Cut 20.
So I wanted to commend you for coming to an institution of science and medicine that has recently been so harmed by your administration's policies and your own votes. And also, I'm truly intrigued by your, you know, thoughts about speaking your truth to a group and the contemporaries of the researchers and scientists and physicians who saved your daughter's life, despite speaking to everybody with such like disrespect for the work that they're doing. As a surgeon, I do know exactly what I'm charging my patients or what the institution is charging our patients for the services that we provide. And I will say that most of the people who are going to be disproportionately affected by the policies that are being enacted are your voters. These are often rural patients. These are veterans. These are elderly patients. And I am very informed, as is most of the room, informed on these policies, much more than I think you're giving us credit for, as well as the real world impact of the work that we're doing and these policies. So have you given any thought to reflecting on the damage to your specific voter pool and the people who have supported getting you into office so that when they are losing their house and losing their livelihood, I can discuss some of those issues with them?
But you seem to be hung up like all I care about are my voters. So I'm concerned about the medical profession. I'm concerned about the fact that faith is eroded in it. I'd say partly because you pushed a COVID injection that literally did kill people, did permanently disable them. You can shake your head like that didn't happen. It happened. And the fact that you continue to deny it in general, not necessarily individuals, doesn't help people's faith in you. So again, I've spent a lot of time with the vaccine injured. I've seen the stats. I've seen how NIH covered it up, how they knew about myocarditis and simply didn't issue the warning. So
wow. When a doctor who, by her own admission, clearly wasn't a Ron Johnson supporter, a surgeon, says to you, I know how this works, and says in part, please speak to us with some respect. We disagree. We're concerned about the disparate impacts of your administration, this MAGA regime's policies. Your response is basically, people have lost faith in the medical profession, and I know better than you know. Newsflash, Senator Ron Johnson. You know what institution in these United States has the lowest approval ratings of all time right now? Congress. You, sir. The surgeon was asking him a question. Do you reflect upon your positions? Do you see? She didn't say these words. Do you seek out alternative information? Or do you exist in your little conspiracy theory bubble with Tucker Carlson and ivermectin? His answer? Screw you. I know better. How dare you ask me this? You should need to look at the public's lack of trust in the medical. You know why they have trust is eroded in the medical profession? Because crackpots like RFK get on Joe Rogan's podcast and spew nonsense that you then repeat, Senator. And as if the insanity of what Ron Johnson was saying yesterday wasn't quite enough, we have some breaking news for you. The Make America Healthy Again report. Yes, that came out from RFK and Donald Trump's Department of Health and Human Services. And guess what? It cited fake scientific studies. So they're not scientific. They're just made up, cited made up research. Had incorrect citations to research that did exist. Even some of that research that did exist that they cited incorrectly. They extrapolated inaccurate results. Misinformation, made up nonsense, riddled with errors. What the hell is that guy reading? You're reading that, the error-strewn political propaganda that's being spewed out by DHHS? RFK Jr., the guy that talks about placebo studies and said, it was never, blah, 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 goes on about it, not knowing that placebo studies for certain terminal diseases and illnesses are considered unethical in the medical profession. Let's listen to some more from the Medical College craziness brought to you by Senator Ron Johnson. This one's nice. After insulting a room full of doctors and scientists, he thought, these are rich people. I should probably insult poor people, too. Let's take a listen.
You have to reduce that structural deficit. And again, you continue to punish success, you get less of it, and you'll dry up federal revenue from that standpoint. So you might feel good. Yeah, we're really getting those rich guys. It's those rich guys that invest, risk their capital, build the business, you know, create the types of jobs and opportunity. You can deny that fact, but again, now you're really denying reality.
Well, I'd like to say I disagree with that, but I'll allow time for another question.
By the way, I've never met a poor person that created jobs. You know, keep denying reality that it's people that have wealth that put the capital to work.
A doctor, he is not. A scientist, he is not. A researcher, he is not. An economist, he is not. And a working man, he is not. With all due respect to every wealthy person that made their wealth through their own blood, sweat, and tears, through their own ingenuity and creativity, they don't scale that wealth without working people. They don't scale that wealth without working people, and yes, poor people that buy their products, that download their apps. You want to talk about job creation? It's the middle class that creates jobs because we consume the products that the companies produce. Ron Johnson doesn't understand the most fundamental element of capitalism: supply and, Senator, demand. The hubris, the out-of-touchedness of Wisconsin's Republican senator, the disdain, the disrespect, the dismissiveness is unparalleled. It is cruel, but at base, he's just wrong. We come back, we have at least one more cut from the craziness. The craziness that is Wisconsin's Senator Ron Johnson. If you're watching us on YouTube, check it out. Wore my special Ron Johnson t-shirt for you today. Wisconsin needs less Ron Johnson. America needs less Ron Johnson. Our economy, our sciences need less Ron Johnson. We continue this exclusive, bring you more sound from his wackadoo appearance before the Medical College of Wisconsin, which they've tried to scrub from the internet, but we got it for you right here. Keep it locked on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action, And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
And it's time for Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas here from Wausau, Wisconsin, as the Woodchucks play host to your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's broadcast presentation. Super excited to have you along the way. The Rafters getting back in the win column for the first time in the 2025 season yesterday night. It was an incredible game. Ended up going 13-11, so offense was in no shortage whatsoever. And, well, I guess we're going to have to see if that changes for today's game. A new pair of pitchers taking the mound. It's Alejandro Morales for your Rafters and Everett Swaim for the hosting Wausau Woodchucks. As, well, the first pitch is just about 15 minutes away from here. And coming up on your Rafters pregame show on WFHR, we're going to be bringing you an interview that I did with Noah Ruiz, one of the heroes from last night's game. He had a huge three-run shot in the eighth inning that made it a four-run lead, and those four runs were necessary, and all three of those, if it weren't for that home run, well, you might be seeing a different result from last night's game, because, of course, the Woodchucks eventually tried to make a comeback effort, not quite able to finish it off, though, as they ended the game with the bases loaded thanks to a Tony Torres-induced pop-up. And he was able to lock it down and finish the game out for a Rafters win. Their first of the season. So Wausau, after losing that game, now they've got to get back on their game and see if they can avoid losing three in a row. Wausau dropping to 1-2 on the season. The Rafters also sitting at 1-2, tied for fifth in the Great Lakes West subdivision. And looking to move up in those standings and see if they can keep climbing. For the Rafters, they started off the season back-to-back losses, but both against Green Bay, who, well, as you could see, they made it atop the Great Lakes West, and they're hoping to keep doing that, keep winning some games, although they now dropped to 2-1, so we'll see how Green Bay plays the rest of the season. But the story tonight is on Wisconsin Rapids offense. We're going to see if they can keep things rolling along, and we'll see what Noah Ruiz has to say. That's coming up next. Here we've got that pregame interview coming up next on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker in a move for the ages. 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Let's get back to Raptors baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
And welcome back into Wisconsin Rapids Raptors pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and joining me is our special guest of the pregame show. It's Noah Ruiz, the hero of last night's game. Noah, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Austin. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing just great. How are you feeling after the way that you finished off last game?
Pretty pumped. Hoping to carry it on today. So, yeah, I'm hoping so excited for today.
Well, hoping to carry it on. You've been kind of doing some pretty good stuff from the plate all season long. How have you been feeling up there? Have you been feeling confident and kind of been growing into it?
Yeah, I mean, it's baseball. I've been playing since I was 6 years old, so it's pretty easy when I'm having fun. And I'm having a blast, so.
So how long have you been in Wisconsin Rapids for?
This is my fifth day in Wisconsin Rapids.
So pretty new still, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely different from San Diego, California, but I love it here. It's been pretty awesome so far.
So have you spent your entire life in the California area, or is this maybe your second time up in the Midwest?
This is my second time. Last year I played in Ohio, but most of my life has been in California. It's where my family is. It's where I've grown up, so yeah.
So what got you into baseball in the first place?
My family are big Dodger fans, so
yeah. Oh man, the Dodgers, yeah. Really?
Go Dodgers. Yep, bleed blue.
So why the Dodgers specifically and not the Angels or someone else like that? The Padres, you mentioned San Diego. No Padre love?
Well, I was born in LA and all my family, all like a million of them are from LA, and they were always Dodger fans, so that's how I'm a Dodger fan.
So you've played at Biola University for a few years now, and you've seen some success there. What has that experience been like for you, and how has that helped you kind of play here in the Northwoods League early on in the season?
Biola's great. I mean, the competition is good. I love my team there, and I think it just carries on to this team because, I love my teammates here too, and I think it's very similar in the culture. So coming here is pretty easy, and, we play for each other, we love each other, and yeah, we play baseball and it's fun.
Yeah, having a lot of fun. I mean, I was seeing you after the game and it just seemed like all smiles from you and really the rest of your teammates as well. Of course, three home runs hit yesterday. You had one of them. How is that, mentality, that offensive game kind of infectious around the squad?
Well, when we first stepped foot into the clubhouse, there's a big Raptor sign and there's players signing it. And JG says, you got to hit a bomb first before we sign the wall. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So both of us ended up getting a home run yesterday, and we ended up signing the wall. It was pretty cool. So, I don't know. We just encourage each other, and, yeah, it's fun.
So are there any players that have signed the wall that haven't hit a home run yet? Anyone you want to call out?
No, I won't call anyone.
You're not going to be the one to spoil it for everyone else. No. Well, that's really all that I've got for you questions-wise. Is there anything else you want to add here?
Go Rats.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our pregame interview. Once again, this was Noah Ruiz joining us. We've got more coming up on the pregame show after a quick break here. When we come back, it's more from you from Athletic Park here at Wausau, Wisconsin. The Raptors taking on the Woodchucks in just a few minutes. We'll be right back after this on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
Hey, baseball fans. Are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.